With the change last year in the Medicare Part D benefit, the senior benefit, to $35, we think that should be the new standard in America. And so while we could wait for Congress to act or the healthcare system in general to apply that standard, we're just applying it ourselves. Lilly's going to buy down all of our customers' out-of-pocket cost to $35 at the pharmacy counter automatically.
Eli Lilly and company CEO David Ricks on CNN yesterday. After that, pharmaceutical giant announced it would cut the price of insulin and expand a program that caps out-of-pocket costs for insulin. It's a victory for President Biden, who highlighted the soaring cost of insulin in his State of the Union speech last month.
Big Pharma has been unfairly charging people hundreds of dollars, $400 to $500 a month, making record profits. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Well, the demand for insulin continues to grow. Diabetes is one of the fastest growing chronic illnesses in the world. And we're going to talk about why with Dr. Peter Butler. He's a professor of medicine at UCLA, where he specializes in diabetes research. Dr. Butler, welcome to Press Play.
Hi.
Hi. All right. So what do you make of this announcement? Is that going to make a major difference for people who are suffering from diabetes?
Yes, it certainly will help a group, subgroup of people whose insurance status was they had a large out-of-pocket expenses for insulin. Oftentimes, these were younger people, maybe with type 1 diabetes, who were coming off insurance coverage from their parents and often maybe had rather marginal insurance coverage, had high out-of-pocket expenses. So it's long overdue. Insulin is cheap to make. That didn't really have justification to be this expensive.
Right. And do you think other companies will follow suit and drop their prices?
Yeah, there's really only two other companies. So now one assumes that there will be a fairly quick readjustment.
Let's pause here and just get a brief definition from you, if you don't mind, between type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
So type 1 diabetes is a disease that is more common in young people, often in childhood, and occurs because the immune system mistakenly attacks the pancreatic beta cells that regulate the blood sugar in people by measuring the level of sugar and secreting insulin into the circulation. It can occur at any age, but occurs more commonly in young people, particularly children. Type 2 diabetes is now more in teenagers than it used to, but typically we see it in people in late to midlife, increasing in prevalence. There are various risk factors for it, one of which is obesity, but also it can come on during pregnancy if people have other illnesses that increase the amount of insulin their body needs. And it's caused by a partial loss of the cells that make the pancreas make insulin, along with an increased demand on those cells. And in about 20% of the population, we don't have the capacity to meet that increased demand, and that results in diabetes.
Mm. So both types are increasing. And why is that? We don't really have a handle, do we, yet, on what exactly causes type 2 diabetes. Some ideas, but not a definitive idea, right?
You're right, Madeline. Type 2 diabetes is probably more than one disease. In a way, it's a disease of exclusion. We look for whether there's evidence of type 1 diabetes, and if there isn't, we call it type 2 diabetes. But there are probably multiple ways to lose those precious beta cells that make insulin or have them not work as well as they should. The reason it's increasing is in part because of the increase in obesity across both the United States and other parts of the world. But there's evidence to suggest there are environmental factors such as persistent organic pesticides and have been shown to increase the risk of a number of conditions, including type 2 diabetes. And then for type 1 diabetes, we're also seeing an increase in prevalence of that. There's an increase in prevalence of pretty much all the autoimmune diseases. So that would suggest, again, that there's some environmental components that are leading to an increase in those autoimmune diseases.
Which parts of the world are seeing the biggest increases?
So for type 2 diabetes, Southeast Asia in particular, so in China, India, there's perhaps the most dramatic increases. There's also increases in sub-Saharan Africa. One of the major risk factors in nations that are seeing the biggest increase is urbanization, so moving from an agricultural lifestyle involving physical activity to moving into an urban environment where there's less physical activity, there is often less nutritious food available, circadian rhythm disruption, long commute times, long periods of light at night with screens. These are all known to be risk factors, and probably greater exposure to the pesticides and other pollutants that we think are playing a role.
So basically adopting a more Western lifestyle and a more American lifestyle, probably eating not as healthy food.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A Western lifestyle. And as I mentioned, about 20% of the population are vulnerable for type 2 diabetes. So that when that population adopts a Western lifestyle, then a higher proportion of that at-risk group will end up with the diabetes in their lifetime.
So that would indicate that a lot of this is fixable, that you can avoid diabetes or perhaps reverse it by changing how you eat, how you live, the stressors in your life, if you can.
It's a good point. I think one has to be a little cautious because oftentimes people who develop type 2 diabetes end up with the impression that it's their fault. Somehow, you know, they acquired something because of their behavior. You know, society is changing. It's not really the individual. You know, long commute times are not something that many people have a choice over. So I agree with you, Madeline, but I think it has to be fixed more in a public health manner. So I think rather than targeting individuals, trying to reorient society is perhaps the better way to go.
Well, it's interesting that we're talking about lowering the price of drugs, which is obviously a great thing, but it doesn't address what you just talked about. It's talking about a medical or a pharmaceutical approach to this disease rather than a wholesale change in the way we live.
Exactly. And probably worth mentioning at this point, Madeline, is also there's much talked about new drugs to tackle obesity. And these are coming out at the top end of the price. These are by far from being reduced in price. And interestingly, the companies that market insulin are the same companies that are marketing these anti-obesity drugs that now have been shown to have quite a dramatic effect. But this is now thousands of dollars a month for many people to use those drugs to try and reduce obesity. So it's not across society going to be available. If one wants to be a little skeptical, the folks marketing insulin are going to more than make up any decrease in profit by the increase in profit of the drugs for obesity.
Dr. Peter Butler is a professor of medicine at UCLA, where he focuses on diabetes research. Dr. Butler, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Coming up, Donald Trump has nicknamed Florida Governor Ron DeSantis Ron DeSanctimonious. It is just the beginning of what is expected to be a nasty campaign. How low can it go? That's next on Press Play.